All right, Psalms 12. He says in verse 1, "Help, Lord." Now, I like whenever he opens a psalm up like that, because you know some of your best prayers are just, "Help, Lord."
Amen.
"Lord, help me." I don't know if you've ever done that, but that's some of my emergency type praying right there. I've just said sometimes, literally, "Help me, Lord." And that's all I've had time for. I know sometimes I've been going down the road before and nearly had a wreck, and I just said, "Help, Lord." And brother, that's scriptural. And sometimes you just have time just for something quick, and you know what? The Lord help you. There's been times in my life where I've come through and talking about accidents and stuff like that. I know I should have had an accident. And I've said, I've had some, but now the Lord's protecting me out of that. But I've said, "Help me, Lord." And brother, he's helped me, and I didn't have an accident when I should have. And so I like that. "Help, Lord." Now watch what he says. "For the godly man ceaseth." Man, that's a good one for today, ain't it? "The godly man ceaseth." Now you take that prayer right there, and that thing right there will fit anywhere. Why? If it was like that back then, it's like that today. And he's saying, "Help, Lord." Why? Because he's about to tell you, this psalm right here is about the Bible. Because he tells you, 6 and 7, Psalm 6 and 7, he's preserved his word. Now, if this psalm here, the focus of this psalm is on God's words in verses 6 and 7. Now, what gets me about this thing is he's focusing on God's word in those things, and he's talking about the words of the Lord being pure words. And then after that, in verse 8, he's talking about the wicked. Now, he's telling you, "Help, Lord, the godly man ceases." Why does a godly man see? Men turn from God's word. The whole thing rises and falls on God's Word. You can't make enough of God's Word. Why? He says it's magnified above His name. And you can't make enough of His Word. So the godly man ceaseth. Why? Because they're not heeding to God's words. Friends, you take this nation right here and you take a nation that kicks God's words out. You'll see godly man cease. And the Bible tell you in Proverbs, the more wicked people get in power, the more wicked people there are. Why? Because they get programs that are specifically denied for wicked people. You take a nation now where the working men here, they are out here working, and folks trying to beat the system all the time. You know what? It takes more time to beat the system than it does just to do right.
Right.
Just do right. You know what? Bob Jones Sr., you say, "Do right." He said, "If the stars fall, do right." Why? Because if you try your best to do right and you say, "Lord, I'm going to yield to you," the right road will lead the right place. That's saying right there has helped me in so many things, because sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes I say, "Is this the right road?" Well, you know why I like to ask that? Because if I'm on the right road, I'm going to go the right way. And if I get on the wrong road, it's my fault, and I'll lead down the wrong way. So the godly man sees it. "For the faithful fail from among the children of men." That's true then, true today, be true always until the Lord Jesus comes back to make it right. But he says this: "They speak vanity, every one of them with his neighbor." Now let's look at this vanity for a minute. Hold your place here and look at Psalm 62. Psalm number 62, vain, just vain things. You know what you'll find? You turn on that glass septic tank, like one man called it, I think he said, and you know what you'll find? Just a bunch of vanity.
Yeah.
It's people just not that normally anything on that TV, and I say that, why? It's easy to pick on, because that's what the world spends most of their time on. And I say that too because you'll find out that most things that are said on the news outlets, and you turn on your radio. You ever turn on radio? Most of it's who won the game and who did this and who did the other thing. That's like sometime there'll be a Super Bowl play, and I don't know when it is, but I know at sometime they have a... When is the Super Bowl?
I think it's coming weekend.
Yeah, pretty soon. Well, the thing is that the world is so ingrained in that stuff that they forget about God. Do you think God cares? You think it's going to matter in 100 years from now who won the Super Bowl? It's not going to matter, but you got the world going after these things. What I'm saying, the world is so full of vanity. And he's saying, he's leading you up to something. Here's these folks, and he said they speak in vanity. So you know what? You know one thing that'll get us away from the Word, and we get away from the Word, start listening to the folks who I'm not listening to anyway. I tell you what, one thing that helps us as much as anything, just turn them off. Just like we do a TV channel or something. When somebody is speaking vanity and you know you've had enough of it, best thing to do, just walk off.
That's right.
And that's all you got to do. Well, you didn't have to say nothing mean to nobody or anything else. You just walk off. Vanity. And look at Psalm 62 in verse 9. It says, surely men of low degree are vanity. And it says, and men of high degree are lie. Man, amen. Now, you got their degrees there. And what I mean is you got now, just like back then, folks worship degrees. One man said that the MA, he said, applesauce, more applesauce. And he said your PhD a lot of times stands for phenomenal dud. And what is it? People worship education today. That's the trouble. And he says men of high degree are alive. And you take some of these folks, and they may have enough degrees that they look like a thermostat, but if they don't apply their knowledge, what they have, to God like they're supposed to, it don't matter. It's just vanity. So he tells you right here in Psalm, he said, a lot of folks think, surely men of low degree are vanity, but he said, men of high degree are a lie. I'd rather be vanity than I had a lie, though. And you see this, to be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. So he goes on right here, tell you what to trust in, what not to trust in. Now, if you want a good degree, well, I'd like to have a godly degree. You want to see what that is? Look at 1 Timothy. I want a godly degree. And you want the degrees God's got for you. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. God will qualify you something, and you know what you can do? You can purchase your degree from God for free. Wouldn't that be nice right there? Just to get a degree from God. Whenever I talk about education, I've had education. I've had 5 years, and I thank God I've had it. But you know what? Thank the Lord, it didn't ruin me. Why? I know that's not what defines me. I know what defines me. God has got to be the one who qualifies.
Amen.
Why? Because God can take folks like Simon Peter and James and other folks, and he can say this right here. Just like those Sadducees and Pharisees, they said, hold on a minute, these are ignorant, unlearned men. Well, the Bible says in the book of Acts, they took note they've been with Jesus. You know who gives you the degree? Jesus does give you the right one. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Now watch this. This degree you want to have, this is God's degrees. God's degree. It says, for they that have used the office of a deacon well, watch this, purchase to themselves a good degree. See there? You want a good degree, you purchase one to yourself right here. How? What a deacon is an office. Well, everybody in here has an office given to you by the Lord. Well, you know what? If you're faithful in that office, God never tells you to be successful. You won't find it one time in that book. You know what he tells you to do? Just be faithful. See, the world will tell you this. The world will tell you, if you ain't got so-and-so, and you ain't got so-and-so, and preacher-wise, Brother Willis, if you ain't running 500, if you ain't got all this, you're not successful. Well, thank God I ain't got to be successful. All I got to do is be faithful to my calling. If God says, you go there, and only one person comes there, guess what? I'm faithful. That's all that matters. I purchased myself a good degree. I want God's degree. And so, he says, why men of high degree are a lie? And what happens is, if you get to thinking that it's not like that, and you're faithful being actually in the eyes of God being what's important, what happens is you get to be vain, and you get to going after vanity, and get to going after the things of the world, and it messes you up. It'll mess you up in your doctrine, mess you up in everything. Why? Because you get to want to please the world. If you ever want to please the world, buddy, you'll get the wrong degree. You get man's degree instead of God's degree. So he tells you there, in great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now how are you going to get boldness in the faith? Realize what God wants you to realize. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. I wish people would get that. Do you know one thing that's an encouragement to me? It's as a preacher, y'all being here tonight. Man, I want folks to preach to, but guess what? Folks who believe the book, you'd rather have folks here who believe God's word want to hear God's word. Man, that's a blessing. That if you had 500 folks here, it was in contempt that want to hear God's word. That's just vanity. I'd rather have folks here who want to love God's word and talk about Him. And man, I tell you what, I guarantee you, if I wanted to, y'all let me preach here 2 hours. And I'm not going to keep you here, but what I'm saying, I know you love God's book. And that's a blessing. That's the degree you want. That's godly stuff. And that's what you want is what God wants. And so, back in the Psalms here, vanity. And you're looking at a time here that we've got, just like he was speaking, about here. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. Now watch this. How do they speak it though? With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Now we can look at that verse a little while. You want me to show you something about flattering lips? Turn back to Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32. Now look. When I go over this lesson, these couple of verses here with you, I want to tell you this. There's nothing wrong with you bragging on somebody. You telling somebody, hey man, I enjoyed your message today. Or hey man, you did a good job. That's not flattering. That's just, hey, you've been a blessing. Me and Brother Willie and Brother Terry went one time, remember that preacher preached that sermon? And brother, he shot me, or the Holy Spirit did right in my heart when that thing hit me. I made sure I told him, man, God bless you. I got a blessing out of it. There's nothing wrong. That's not flattery. Flattery is a thing where you give somebody a compliment or you brag on somebody you really didn't mean it. Why? They're spreading a net for your feet. They're trying to trap you. That's how the devil will give you compliments and not mean it. That's flattery. Look at this right here. It's dangerous. Job chapter 32. Verse 21 says, now let's look at what the Lord says about this flattery. Verse 21 says, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. Neither let me give flattering titles unto man. Now titles mess folks up. Look here, for I know not to give flattering titles. In doing so, my Maker would soon take me away. You know, you have to watch that right there. You have to watch them titles. Why? The world loves titles. You get all these titles of folks who don't even have to have no kind of title at all. You got titles nowadays that somebody may be working in a gas station. Nothing working in a gas station. Nothing wrong with that at all. I think that's good. I'm glad somebody worked. But you get some of these ones like up on the East Coast, and I'll talk to them sometimes during the week, and I say, boy, what's your title? Something executive, something desk operator. I mean, just some kind of crazy. And I thought, I'm thinking in my mind, what is that? Well, all it is come up with some kind of great big old long title I can't even pronounce just to say, hey, I work here behind the counter. You know what the trouble is? Nobody wants to be humble, and there's so many folks who don't want to be Indians, everybody wants to be a chief. And that's the trouble. So they won't have any great big old flattering titles, and what happens is you get a whole nation of folks who get offended so easy. Why? They got to have everything sugarcoated. So they got to have these titles, and he's telling you that's dangerous. It's dangerous. If you got to have a souped up title, that's dangerous. And let me tell you how the devil works with you here. And before I go to that, I've gave y'all this verse many times. Turn to Proverbs 6. I'll show you how the devil works. But like these titles. Y'all know that we all not call a preacher reverend. Now, if you do that, I'm not saying, hey, man, if you didn't know no better. But the reason why is reverend is the name of God. That's God's name. Psalms 111, verse 9 says, holy and reverend is his name. Now, see, you take some of these folks on here, and you got Reverend Jesse Jackson. And what happens is, that man's not a reverend. What is it? He's a servant of God's title. Why? So he can have that title out in front of his name. You see that thing? He loves to have those titles. You know what? The devil is using that man for all kind of evil. Because he's got to have this title. And we think, well, what is it? He's puffed up. Reverend Jesse Jackson. Don't get me on that. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. And that man, he's a wicked. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2 says this. He says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Let's see. Alright, so the words of your mouth, you can give flattering titles and then words will mess you up. And I meant to go somewhere with that. Look at Daniel, I'm sorry. The words of your mouth, I guess I connected that with the devil messing you up with these flattering titles coming out of your mouth. But I wanted to show you Daniel 11. I got ahead of myself. Daniel 11. I want to show you how the devil works and how he's going to work. You take right now let's just say President Obama and stuff like that. What he does is he gets a lot of these folks and he gets a lot of these liberals that's going along with his agenda,
And he'll take them and he'll give them a great big old flattering title. He'll say, look, I've got you this title. Now you get in here. And what happens is he gets a whole bunch of folks in a degree with him. And they get all their buddies together. And before long, they got a whole bunch of junk passed like they got passed right now. And through all flattery on what it's going to do and how much it's going to help you. And you're going to be a part of this great big old college. And folks buy into that stuff. And man, before long, you got a country that's in the tube. And it's going. What I'm telling you, that's how the Antichrist works. Look at Daniel 11. And look down there at verse 21. It says, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. There's a vile person. There's that vile person. If you want a real good study, I won't go into it now. You go through that Bible and you study that word vile. And man, I tell you what, you'll learn you something about the devil. Alright, it says this, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in how? Peaceably. He's going to say peace, peace, and he's going to hold his hand up just like that right there. And that's the bowman right there. Now he says this, and obtain the kingdom by how? How's he going to get the kingdom? Flattery. So let me tell you, you better watch any leader who gets up there and he puts folks in there by flatteries. And what I mean is a whole bunch of false statements while he knows exactly what to say. Well, it's not true, but he knows what to say to make folks feel good. I tell you this, you have to be real leery of that. Why? Because these guys know exactly what to do, and they're working by the spirit of Antichrist, but when that real Antichrist gets there, he's going to be the master of it, that's more master than any of these other guys. Look at that same chapter, verse 32. Verse 32, the Lord's warning us about these flatteries. He says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt how? By flatteries. He corrupts by flattery. And the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So you know what that means? There's going to be people in the great tribulation that's going to do some exploits. And there's probably, you're going to see all kind of things out there. The Lord will show you things of what people do. Why? There's going to be some people that rebel against that thing. And the Bible says they'll do exploits. Look at verse, I think in that same chapter 34. It says, now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. See, them flatteries are dangerous, man. You have to watch that stuff. So he's telling you over there in that Psalms to watch out for those flatteries. And in our life, there's nothing wrong with somebody bragging on you or you bragging on somebody else. But you have to remember, if somebody's talking to you and you know they really don't mean what they say, brother, you better watch out while they're spreading the net for some reason. And so that's what the devil will do to you. So you see how subtly he'll come to you? The devil will come to you in your mind and make you think how good you are, how good you are, how good you are. When the Bible says there's none good, no, not one.
Right.
So if you ever get to being, if you get those thoughts, and those thoughts say, hey, well, I'm better than so-and-so, and I'm better than so-and-so over here. Now, you know what's happening? You realize he's messing your mind up. He's messing with you. And you better realize no, sir. I know where I stand with the Lord. Brother, I've got to stay humble or I'll stumble, like the man said. And so keep that in your mind. Now, another thing, it says lying lips and a double heart do they speak. Now, we're talking about the Bible. I want to show you something about a double heart. Y'all want to see what the Bible says about it? James, look at James chapter 1. A double heart. Now, this is stuff that comes right down the line with us today that'll fit down in any age. It don't matter what age it is. A double heart and a double mind will go down on any dispensation and it'll fit. Now, I want to show you two things about this double-mindedness and double heart. It's one thing to be double-minded, but a double heart. James chapter 1 and verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, so you know how the devil can knock you off balance? If the devil can get you to have a double heart or a double mind about a thing, he can knock you off balance. Now I want to show you a man who was double-minded. Look in your Bible at Acts chapter number 3. I just want to show you biblical examples of how somebody's double-minded. And what double-hearted and double-minded is. We're going to see a man here. Acts chapter number 3 and verse 13. It says this, the God of Abraham and Isaac
and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye, watch this, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. Now, speaking of Pilate, it says this, when he was determined to let him go. Now let me show you something about Pilate being a double man. This verse here says Pilate was determined to let him go. That's in the Bible. We know that Pilate's mind was determined to let him go. Look at Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Verse number, I believe it's going to be, 27. He says, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. You know what, that one verse told you that Pilate was determined to let him go, and that verse right there said he got with everybody else and they were all together in their one mind. A double-minded man. Now you know what the devil gets you to do? Ephesians 4:14 tells you he wants to get you tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. He wants you to blow around in the wind. He wants you to think one way one week, one way the other week. And you know what you'll find out? This world nowadays has got, it's been back like that then too, but I say nowadays, the world wants you to blow around just like if the world's going this way, the devil and everybody wants you to go right on with the world. Why? It's easy to flow down the stream. You ever seen a stream? It just goes right down. Just with the flow of the ground. If the ground's going like this way, that stream will go straight down through it. Just like, and the devil wants you to be just like that. Why? It's hard to go against the current. It's hard to go against the current. And you know what? With the Lord. With the Lord, we can't do it on our own strength. With the Lord, guess what? We can go right up that current, man. And you know what? There's a type of fish. I think it's a salmon, maybe. We saw it on, I think it was Discovery Channel or something. You know what that fish does? That fish swims up that current and jumps up there, and these barriers weigh on everything. You know how we like those fish. We're swimming against the current, and we got barriers swiping at us and everything else. Well, guess what? They may do all the swiping. If they do catch us, thank God, we'll be after with the body and present with the Lord. But man, I'd rather go against the current and do what's right than go right along with the flow. Just go with the flow, like they say, and be right on in with the world and be at enmity with God, like the Bible says. I don't want to be like that. And so what happens is you see right there that the devil tries to get you to have a double heart. Now, what's a double heart as far as the Bible? Here, this text right here is teaching us, Bible things that's going to tell us about God's Word. A double heart is this. You take a man, you can find out what he believes, or a preacher, what he believes, and say, well, what's your final thought? And some of them say, well, the original manuscript, but we use so-and-so Bible. That's a double mind. You don't have the mind of Christ. Why? He said, the Bible says, let you be of one mind and one accord. Now, you know what? Right here in this Bible study, everybody here has got the same Bible. We all use the King James, but guess what? We can be in one accord. You know what we can do? Everybody here, if I were to say right now, that verse you're reading, let's all read in unison. And you know what happened? We could read that thing in unison, couldn't we? And it would be a one accord. Now, you know what? Who is the one who creates confusion? The devil, right? God is the author of confusion. Now, you know what would be confusing? If I put over here, if I said, okay, I'm going to quote King James, you quote King James, you quote King James, and you get home and you get the NIV and you get a message and you get all these new things. Let's quote John 3:16 together. You know what it sounds like? It sounds just like battle. It sounds just like you speaking in tongues. Now guess what? That's God's curse, isn't it? Why? It's confusing. So what happens is, that's double-mindedness, and the devil tries to get this world double-mindedness. What? Have all kind of different authority. You talk to a Roman Catholic, you know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you the Pope's their final authority. We'll go by the Bible as long as the Pope don't go against. That's double-mindedness. Now, in our life, you know what we'll try? You know what the devil will try to get us to do? Now, we believe the book. But you know what the devil will try to get you to do? You'll come across something in that Bible, and you'll come across a verse, and that Bible will run contrary to your flesh, and you know what your flesh will want you to do? Your flesh will want you to turn that page and make out like you didn't read that book. That's your flesh. So what you got to do is you got to yield to the Lord. Why? The devil wants you to be double-mindedness. Now, whether we like it or not, we got to yield to that book. And I tell you what, that'll keep us from all kinds of trouble. Why? Because we got one authority. It's us and God. And so if the devil can divide and conquer and get you on a totally different authority, he can get you. He knows he can get you double-minded like Pilate. Why? Pilate didn't know which one to yield to. Pilate's lost the ball in high weeds. Well, at least in our life, we know who to yield to.
I know if I can't figure something out, I can go to that book and get my direction. I don't have to go by my flesh. I don't have to wonder about anything else. That keeps us, y'all. You got an advantage you don't realize over the lost man. Not only do you have a perfect book in your lap, but you got the Holy Spirit to guide you through that thing.
Amen.
And you got the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I've been in there, and I tell you all kind of read the proverb. I've been in there before, and I knew that morning that proverb was the one to help me. Why? How did I know? Because that Holy Spirit was telling me, you better hang on to that verse today. You're going to need it.
And you know what you'll find out? You'll get in that book, and that book will talk to you, and that book will tell you, and the Lord will tell you through them words right there, you better hang on to that thing. You're going to need it. You take that verse, fight the good fight of faith. Brother, you think that verse right there won't help you? Why? You'll get up sometime, you'll get in a fight, and it'll be a mental fight. You'll be going on through something up here and fight the good fight of faith. Why? He never said it's going to be easy. He never said it. Now, I'm going to tell you what, there's a misconception today about the Christian walk. The Christian walk is not easy. It's something you have to constantly struggle. Who you have to fight? I have to fight myself all the time.
Yeah.
I have to fight myself. Why? Because my flesh said, let me tell you what we need to do. We need to go down here and do, and man, that flesh will start trying to take over. You know what you have to do? The Bible says flesh is like grass. Well, guess what? I got a weed chopper right there. The sword of the Spirit. Well, I get back. Get chopping them back, man, that's the only way. Why? You got to chop it back with a word. And brother, it'll do it. Now, back in the Psalms, so these people speak with a double heart and it messes them up. Verse 3 says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Now you run that back to Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, you'll find out that proud thing. Now you know what else too? That goes to show you that you sodomites don't read the Bible. Why? All they talk about is pride, pride, pride. Well, pride is of the devil. Now you find out they speak proud things. Guess what? You'll see that I'm serious. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I saw on one of them, I want to say it was on Fox News or whatever. But when that Gaines got passed and everything, there was a lady standing there. And she was standing there with a sign in red letters. It just said proud on there. I wanted to say, you know what? That describes that lifestyle perfectly. Wow, there's pride. It's of the devil. And so what happens is, you're going to see in that Bible right there, it's telling you that you know what the sin that's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse as this thing goes on? Pride. You're going to see folks who can do things in the daylight that 50 years ago, man, that thing wouldn't have been brought out and open. You take, let's just say television 50 years ago. 50 years ago, there's TV shows. Nowadays, you watch some of these shows, you see how modest some of them were. You take Andy Griffith, for example, popular TV show. Everybody here can watch Andy Griffith together. I mean, we could turn this thing on and probably just about any show watch it right here in this church. Well, you can't do that with shows nowadays. Why? The commercials would embarrass every one of us in here to death, man. Well, it's our lot, and it's right there in front of folks. And so pride is prevailing. You take verse 4, it says, who have said, with our tongue we shall prevail. That's what they say now. They think they're going to take over the world.
Oh.
We're going to prevail. Watch this. Our lips are our own. Whose lips are they? They're God's lips, aren't they? You know what? That tongue is God's. It's on loan. This body is not your. God made that body.
Amen.
That vehicle we go get out there in, that's God's vehicle. And you know what that does? That lets you know something. Every single thing you've got is given to you by God. The Bible says, what hast thou that thou hast not received? So you know what? You're a steward of that.
And how you take good care of that right there lets God know something. You know what? One of these days, if you ain't got much, well, guess what? God is going to say, hey, you were faithful in a little bit, let me put you over a lot.
Right.
And some of those other ones that had a whole lot and they weren't faithful, you know what I'm saying? You weren't faithful with that. Let me take away what you got and give it to the Lord. What I'm saying is we got to be faithful with what we have.
And our lips is something that's not our own. They're saying this, but it's not true. They say, who is Lord over us? I can tell you who's Lord over you. Jesus Christ is Lord. And friend, one of these days, the Bible said everybody, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ the Lord, the glory of God the Father. Verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Well, who's puffing? The dragon. Alright, so you know what you have? That's a prophecy right there showing when the Lord, he's going, you know what the Lord's going to say? He's sitting down.
He's standing up and he said, now will I arise. And he said, I'll save the one and I'll put him in safety from the one who's puffing at him. And that old dragon thinks he's so tough. You imagine the Lord comes down and with the sword of his mouth, you take these old cartoons and stuff like that with it, where the knight comes in and shining armor. And he comes in there, who's got the arm of the Lord? The Lord. And man, he comes in there with that two-edged sword. He comes in there, slays the dragon. Guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ will literally come back and he'll have a sharp two-edged sword going out of his mouth. And the Bible says he'll destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. And I guarantee you, all darkness will flee from him. Why? He's perfect light. In him is no darkness, and the darkness will flee.
He said he'll come back. Now watch this. Now watch where he's bringing the focus to. The words, now he's going to come back. The Lord said he'll rise and come back with what? With his word. With a sharp two-edged sword. It said the words of the Lord are pure words. And the purity knocks out all the dirtiness. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, I'm going to tell you something. One reason why I emphasize this book so much is because you can only get, as far as your stream, I'll just illustrate it like this.
If I was handing y'all water, and that water was coming from a dirty stream, you can only get as good as what the purity of your source comes from. So if you've got a dirty source of water, how are you going to get in any better shape? Now look, we've got a pure source of water right here, and whenever I drink from this, and I give y'all this water right here, I'm giving y'all pure drinking water. And what happens is, when you take a man sent up here, he may have all the good motives in the world, and he may love the Lord, but if he don't know no better, he stands up here and gives you the water from a dirty source, how are you going to get clean from an unpure source, is what I'm saying. And you take a man there, it's doing that, and what I'm saying, you say, how can the church get in such bad shape? How are so many folks in such bad shape nowadays? Like, I tell you why, so many fountains are coming out on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon from an unpure source. And guess what's happened?
I tell you what, a text of scripture just hit my mind. Let me show you something. Look at Ezekiel. It's been a little bit since I looked at it. I believe it's going to be 32, I was going to say. Man, where is that text? It says where you foul that with your feet. Does anybody know where that is? Carla, can you look that up? It's in Ezekiel. It says you foul that with your feet. 32. Let's see here. I wanted to show y'all that where you could mark it. Here it is. Here it is. 34, verse 19. Now, y'all know that the Word of God is likened unto water. And you know what? We're like God's flock. Kind of like in this Old Testament situation here. And look at verse 19. It says, as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. You know what folks are doing now? They're drinking out of a fountain that men have come through, and they have fouled with their feet, and they're giving folks dirty drinking water. Would anybody in here drink dirty drinking water? I don't like, I'm going to tell you what, I'm pretty ticky about my water. I know it sounds bad, spoiled, but I want to drink good, cold glass of ice water.
And I tell you what, whenever I'm listening to somebody preach, I'm listening to the Bible, I want it coming from the pure, right source.
Amen.
And you know what? It's just like one preacher got up and said, he said, I want you to get your stinking feet out of my drinking water. And that's what I feel like today. Why? Because you got all these congregations of folks who really love the Lord. They don't know no better. Why? Nobody's told them. And here they are. They sit down. They want a good, refreshing glass of ice water to help them through the week. And a man stands up there and gives them fouled up a dirty drinking water. And when God said His words are pure, David said over there in the Psalm, he said, Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Do you know that's the purest thing in tangible form that you can find on planet Earth? That thing sitting in your lap right there. That's why it has to become your a friend. You know, the Bible says it gives you wisdom. And Ecclesiastes says, wisdom maketh a man's face to shine. Now, what's that mean? You know what happened? God says He's light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Well, there's a transfer that takes place between these words right here and your spirit. And that word right there, when you're reading that word off that page, it's coming through there and cleaning you up on the inside and shining you up and giving you wisdom. That way you can shine different whenever you walk around during the week. You can actually minister wisdom to people instead of this old vanity that people talk about. So that's why it's so important to have your purity. He says this, verse 7. It just happens to be in 7, the perfect verse. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know what folks will say. Let me see how much time I got. They'll say this. They'll say, well, how do you know that you got the perfect Word of God? And why you say it's the perfect Word of God? Why? He said that He would preserve His Word. He never said He had to preserve Hebrew. He never said He had to preserve Greek. He said He would preserve His Word. And you know what you have? You have the preserved Word of God right here in your hand. And the thing is, I have to tell you all that. Why? Because I want y'all to know that if I run contrary to that book right there, that book is always right, I'm always wrong, and anybody else who goes against that book right there, they're wrong, and the Bible's always right. So you know what you can do? You don't have to have another man, you don't have to have a scholar, you don't have to have a pope, you don't have anybody else. You've got a paper pope right there. If you want somebody to want the pope, they come up right there and he speaks extra through. He speaks what is right every time, and that Bible right there is something you can depend on. It's supposed to be everybody in your best friend. You get your counsel from here, you get your advice from here, you get how to love from here, you get what to love and what to hate from here. You get all of your advice right here out of that book right there. And he said he preserved it for you 7 times. And I won't go over them all for lack of time, but I can tell you this. That Bible right there is so amazing, coming down to that King James. I can go through all kinds of 7s to get there, but there happens to be 7 major English translations, including that King James, to come down through English right there. And I'll name them quickly for you because you won't have time to write them down. But you got first the Wycliffe's Bible, Coverdale's Bible, you got Matthew's Bible, the Great Bible, the Geneva Bible, and the Bishop's Bible. And then it comes right down after that. That's the King James. That's 7 right there. It's purified. I've heard people say, well, where was the King James, or what was the Bible before 1611? Well, that's an unbeliever anyway. You know God said He was always going to keep His Word. It had to be somewhere. So that's just a straw man's all it is. When somebody asked me that, I said, well, they had. It just wasn't as pure. Boy, you come up making somebody mad right there. Why? They had God's Word. He's always been around. But you guess what? He told you He purified that thing. They said, how do you know He stopped with the King James? I know He did. The reason why, He's still blessing that book. And the rest of them got mistakes in them. That one don't have a mistake. It's got to be God's Word. And another thing, too, the Holy Spirit tells me that's God's Word.
Amen.
Folks say, well, what do you mean God talks to you? I guarantee you, right through that book right there. And He said, this is my book. Preach it. And so I've got it. And you got right here in verse 8, it says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. You know how I know right now vile men are exalted in our nation and in other nations too? Because the wicked are walking freely on every side.
That's right.
You got more law. The laws nowadays are more against folks trying to do right than they are folks trying to do wrong. Why? The folks doing wrong got more rights than the folks trying to do right. So why? How do I know? You got right now the wicked walk on every side. But you know what? One of these days the Lord's going to come back and take care of it. The thing is with us, and I'll close with this thought, we'll have the Lord's Supper. The thing is this.
We have to keep in mind when we go through the week and all this old stuff tries to burden you down, you got to realize, just enjoy those everyday small things. Why? Because one of these days the Lord's going to come and take care of your business. There ain't one thing, not one problem that we've got here tonight that the coming of the Lord wouldn't take care of. He'd take care of it, but He's going to, too.
Amen.
So just enjoy walking with the Lord and enjoy every piece of this life you can. Why? Because, man, don't let them drag you down. If they were to drag you out here tonight and chop your head off like some of them are, some there are Christians getting that right now. But you know what a lot of them do? A lot of them witnessing on the way.
Yeah.
And you think, man, could I ever go through that? I tell you what, tonight I hope if I ever had to, I hope the Lord give me enough grace, enough bravery, enough boldness to try to witness to them folks before it happened.
Amen.
Why? Because it happens. There's been a lot of them that's done it and done worse than that too. So closing with that, the Lord's going to take care of it. And I hope that Psalm chapter 12, I hope it helped.